It is Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell, and we're happy to have Don Lloyd with us in today from Associated Bank. Don is the SVP of Capital Markets, where he oversees the foreign exchange and does all kinds of work with derivatives at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Steve, good morning.
Half expected to see you in Davos, but no, you didn't get the Switzerland ticket either.
Well, if Davos is a set of pajamas, I was probably in there with all the phone calls I've been getting all night long. Right. But so my Davos pajamas are out. But no, right. I wasn't able to go to Switzerland this year.
Yeah, and so. We've got the snow here, so I guess we're kind of there. You know, it's kind of the same, right, a little bit?
Getting closer.
Yeah. I want to talk to you about that because there were a couple of reports early going in the early days of Davos. And by the way, this is the World Economic Forum, and it's held every year. They're all the muckety-mucks get together and talk about the economy. The International Monetary Fund and the world economic situation talking about global growth that's slowing. Some concerning numbers, or did we expect this?
Always concerning when it slows, but it's not, you know, out of the norm. I mean, you know, something to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the whole topic of this economic forum is, you know, shaping a global architecture in the age of the fourth industrial revolution. Can you get any broader than that?
Yeah.
You know, and these types of communication, I think, are very, very good. Then you have all the back channel discussions that are going on where I think the real value is, and slowing economic growth and how are we going to approach that as a global economy and a world economy and partners in our world. Let's talk about how we're going to get through all of that. So, you know, are we looking at a recession? Are we looking at slowdown? You know, right now, I think consensus is very much of a slowdown, not a recession, mm-hmm. not a global recession by any stretch of the imagination. So I think in that regard, if you put it in the right context, nothing to really worry about. The problem is that you've got key leaders that aren't going to be there. So how much of those discussions are really going to occur that are going to have any meat to them or substance to them?
Yeah, I want to touch on a couple of the reasons behind some of the global growth estimates being shrunk. One of them is, these are regulars that we've been talking about, the ongoing trade disputes, concerns about climate change, climate risks, increasing debt. Those are three of the big ones.
Yep. Those are the three hot topics that they always talk about at Davos, you know, with climate change and then the deficits or whatnot. You know, the deficits are funny. You know, deficits aren't important until the market thinks deficits have become important. And we certainly haven't seen the market concerned about that over the last 10, 20 years, you know, maybe even 25 years. But take a look at micro deficits, whether it's Greece or whatnot. I mean, Greece didn't become a problem with their debt until the market woke up one day and all of a sudden it was a problem. Sort of like cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
You know, is $20,000 too high? Well, it is until the market decides it's too high and now we're going to come back down. And world debt or individual sovereign debt is very much like that. It's not an issue until it becomes an issue. And so far, it hasn't been an issue. And is it on the horizon? Nobody seems to talk about it or care about it. The markets certainly aren't pricing it in. But just like Greece, it can happen very, very quickly. Usually takes a big event to occur, but and then the other things that are going on in Davos, you know, the other two that you mentioned, climate change, we're always talking about that. They're still arguing whether it's a real effect or not a real effect, you know, or what's really causing it. So, you know, we'll see what comes out of Davos. I don't expect much.
Right. The and when back to the debt part of this, I saw a figure that I hadn't seen before. The International Monetary Fund put global debt at $244 trillion. Put that into perspective for us, if you can.
The revenue that's generated from our tax base is about 16% of GDP. Okay, now, when you take a look at the United States, if you take a look at the world revenue that's thrown off to sit there and address those deficits, it's a smaller percentage. If you just take a look at the United States, if we had another 10 years of employment the way we do, and tax generation at 16 to 17% of GDP, it would take 10 years just to have the debt, to cut it in half. Mm-hmm. 10 years of that. Now, we're already 10 years into a boom.
Yeah.
Okay. We're already 10 years into expansion. Do we think we can really get another 10 years of growth and expansion out of this, or we can just start to begin to cut this thing in half?
And that's just in half, by the way. That's just cutting it in half.
That's exactly right. But again, you know, I'm old enough where, you know, I can remember when the deficit was in the billions, not the trillions. And we were just like beside ourselves that, you know, what do you mean we went through $100 billion, $500 billion in debt? And now we're in trillions, and that doesn't seem to matter. But at some point, where does the market wake up and say, this is beyond sustainable? I don't even know what comes after trillions, to be honest with you. Where do you stop this whole thing? But the market doesn't seem to care. We don't seem to care. No one really is too concerned about it. Life goes on.
And that's the thing that I think is important here. Why don't we care?
Well,
I mean, what's at play there?
To me, it's sort of like the ostrich with the head in the sand.
Is that it?
Maybe if I keep my eyes closed, it will go away. but it doesn't go away. Yeah. I mean, this will resolve itself. Now, I've been saying that for 20 years. This is going to resolve itself one way or the other. Hopefully, we can find a way out of it. After 20 years of this, I don't see us finding a way out of it with any stretch of the imagination. It's going to resolve itself. The farther we go into it, the more dramatic that's going to be. And to me, it's pretty dramatic right now. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a 20 or 30-year-old out there, you know, running around in this world and, you know, with a mortgage and, you know, raising kids and family and whatnot.
Student loans, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sort of at the end of it. You know, so I can sort of hunker down and maybe weather the storm. But it's sort of frightening what's out there.
It's not going to just disappear, though.
No, can't disappear. I mean, but it can't keep going the way it's going. I mean, I don't see a solution out of this other than a bad solution, to be honest with you.
And what would that bad solution be?
You're going to see a lot of unemployment. You're going to see very much of an economic shock that ripples through not only this country, but this world at some point. What's going to trigger it is going to be the big thing. And now there's really nothing on the horizon to trigger it, so we can continue to operate this way for another 10, 20 years, for all I know. I mean, like I said, I have sort of been in the camp of concern, you know, for 20-some-odd years. And I've been proven wrong every single year. And at some point, you know, I sort of fall into sleep just like everyone else. But you know, the answer is going to be, you know, whether it's hyperinflation or inflationary times, or certainly a huge devaluation of your currency, it's going to result in unemployment. It's going to result in, you know, whole shifting demographics because of it, which, you know, we're not exactly a nation of what I consider the tough people and the frontiers people of the 1800s, yeah. Which sort of moved, you know, we're a bunch of, you know, tough old beggars that would move to where the jobs were and could weather the storm. I mean, we've sort of gotten a little bit soft and comfy.
Yeah, our smartphones go out and we start panicking.
Right. So, you know, if I can't get up and get my Starbucks and come into work, you know, and just the whole idea of uprooting my family and moving to another job, you know, that's not what it was 30 years ago or 40 years ago, where that was just commonplace. You did it. You know, nowadays, everybody sort of likes their little bubbles.
You know, every once in a while, I'll hear critics say, well, that explains, you've just explained why their philosophy or their belief that people are just getting as much as they can for themselves as possible right now, knowing that all of that's coming.
What have we raised? What kind of kids have we raised? Yeah. Who's at fault, really? You know, I look at my generation and then, you know, love my kids, but what have we done? But the U.S., you know, it's $19.4 trillion of GDP just in the United States. You know, that's a big tax base that can be pulled out of there. And that's sort of the go-to of the people who aren't concerned about it is that, well, you can always raise taxes. We can always sit there and raise taxes and approach it that way. Yeah, but that too has, you know, it's pitfalls, you know. I mean, that's going to have a knock on economic expansion and freedoms and things that we're used to today, and kids going to school, and you know the type of house you have. But you know, a $20 trillion economy is a pretty big economy. You know, China, the closest one to it, is you know $12.2 trillion. So you know, there's still a big gap between us and number two. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not counting the European Union as one big block. You know, I mean, you break those guys out as individual countries. So, yeah, we do have a taxing base that's there, and to some extent, that is a backstop, and it's there. I don't think you really want to look at putting that into play, though.
So, how are these global growth reports impacting the markets over the last few days?
Certainly, the market has been in a volatile state. It all has centered around rising interest rates. Are we going into a recession or an economic slowdown? That has sort of rippled and continued into 2019. Not to the extent that it was in the fourth quarter of last year. For some reason, you know, the ripples are starting to diminish and go and sort of die down a little bit. There is a concern that we are going into a slowdown. Not a recession, but a slowdown. Again, I'm sort of in the other camp. You know, I see the consumer still fully engaged. I see the consumer with a lot of work choices that are out there. And I don't see a bubble. I don't see a bubble anywhere like you had back in 07 and 08 when you had the big financial disaster and the economic slow crisis that you had back then. So with that, I think a lot of it is our own paranoia to some extent. 10 years into an economic recovery, how long can it go? And that sort of spooked the markets. Mm-hmm. Well, we said that after 5 years. We said that after 8 years. We're saying it after 10 years. Hopefully we're going to be saying after 12 or 15 years. Why can't we have sustained economic growth for decades? Of course we can.
Yeah.
You know, and we're showing that. As long as the consumer continues to stay engaged and has viable options when it comes to employment and generating income, I think it's great. I think that just feeds on itself. You know, I'm sort of one of these half-glass full kind of guys. If you talk positive, it gets people in a positive mood and consumer confidence mm-hmm. up. If you talk negative, recession, oh my gosh, doom and gloom on the horizon, it pulls the consumer back to get in a defensive position. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah. And when you get into the nitty-gritty at the trading desk, there are places still to make money. There's still good investments
around
the world.
But the trading desk is much shorter term. You know, we're living much shorter term as opposed to, gee, you know, are we going into a recession, especially in foreign mm-hmm. exchange? I mean, you know, you're sitting there, you know, if you can even think about tomorrow or the next day, you know, that's looking far out in the foreign exchange world. So I sort of have to put my trading cap on and get, you know, into the world that I'm sort of used to. And all of that comes together, you know, the yield curve, interest rates, you know, all of the movement, what's happening in Davos, all of that sort of ties in to where do these flows go, this world of money, this pool of money that sloshes around and comes through my market. You know, the other big driver is economic growth and what are companies out there doing? Are they buying and selling overseas? That all flows through my market too. So we sort of see it firsthand of the health of this economy. And it's strong and it's not letting up. If anything, when you're out there talking to clients, you know, they're out there and they've got their orders stacked up and, you know, they're still looking to expand and they have problems where they can't hire people. That's all good stuff. I don't see any of that diminishing mm-hmm. in our world anytime soon. So I'm still pretty much in the positive camp. Might be wrong a year from now, you know, or 2 years mm-hmm. from now, but, you know, who knows what's going to be out that far.
I saved the best for last. We look over at London, over at the UK, and boy, this Brexit thing has really come full circle for us, hasn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what. I love the British. I love people from the UK. But, you know, leave it to the UK to sit there and just jump right into the middle of it and just make a mess out of something. And you know, they're sort of like a cat. They're going to land on their feet. They're going to get through this and it's going to be fine. It isn't going to be pretty by any stretch of the imagination. But you look at Theresa May and, you know, to sit there and have her plan A come out and be voted down by 230 votes, 230 ministers of parliament. You know, members of parliament vote this thing down out of 650.
Yeah.
You know, and
the biggest defeat for her party since 1930s.
And then she comes up with plan B, and plan B is just on the fringe a little different.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, the £65 fee that we have for European members who are not part of the UK living here, we're going to waive that. What are you talking about? You know, so two things are going to dominate the headline, I think, between now and spring. It's going to be the government shutdown, and it's going to be Brexit. And the government shutdown will resolve itself as soon as people start talking and they hammer this thing out behind the doors. Brexit is not going to resolve itself. And, you know, if you take a look at the options and where you're going to go with this, you know, soft Brexit, hard Brexit, you know, she has survived a vote of no confidence, so she's still in the game. You know, are they going to get an extension? Well, the extension, you just can't say we're going to extend. The European Union has to agree to that, and the European Union isn't going to agree mm-hmm. to that. March is the date. Now, the UK can say, let's pull it. We're not going to leave.
No
the
Brexit.
European.
Yeah.
We're just not going to leave. Yeah. You know, we're not leaving. We're going to you know, kill this thing. And the Judicial Committee over in the European Union back in December of 2018 said, not a problem. You guys can do that if you want. You don't need European Union approval to do that. That's a possibility, too. There is so much political dealing and wheeling and dealing going on with their own party, the Tories and the Tory rebels going at it,
yeah.
you know, to sit there and cut their little deals before they back this thing. We're not even halfway through this book. And, you know, the book's got to end the end of March. We're not even halfway through this book of all the stuff that's going to happen.
It's going to be interesting. I've started to think in the past couple of days that maybe it's not going to happen at all. I think if I were going to bet some money, I'd bet on no Brexit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a push for a second referendum. I mean, Theresa May wants to get this through. She's got a lot of credibility if she doesn't get this thing through. You know, it's really why she came in as prime minister. That's why David Cameron stepped out. You know, she's going to be bent, you know, to get this thing through one way or the other. So I'm sure there's a lot of negotiations going on. The markets, other than the British pound and, you know, the pound type crosses and, you know, the equity markets, you know, they've reacted somewhat negatively over there, but nothing of what you're going to see as the end of March approaches. It's going to be a no Brexit deal, or it's going to be, you know, we're going to stay in the European Union. This whole thing just sort of collapsed on itself.
Don, how can people get in touch with you and have this conversation one-on-one if they want?
Sure. If you go to the AssociatedBank.com website, you can just look up Capital Markets, and my phone number is right in there, or my desk phone number right in there. You can always call the trading room, or, you know, drop me an email at, you know, donald.lloyd@associatedbank.com. And because the one thing's for sure, Steve, the volatility is out there. And companies really need to be thinking about hedging. I mean, if you're not hedging, you're at the complete mercy of the market. And that comes from currency risk, comes from your interest rate risk, comes from every commodity risk you can think of. And the markets are extremely volatile still, even through, you know, 2018 and coming into 2019. So you have this risk. If you're not hedging, or you're deciding not to hedge, at least it's a decision you're making. If you don't know what hedging is, call me, because you're not controlling your risks.
Next year, I'm going to put in another request to go to Davos. If it gets approved, you want to be my plus one, we can do some skiing.
We can share a room and we can go ski it all the time. Sounds good to me.
All right, Don, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steve.
And Don Lloyd, the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange Derivatives at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Remember, you can listen to past conversations at WGNradio.com on the Opening Bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter. And also head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to learn more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there as well.